I'm so glad that we are able to gather here tonight. Indeed, that the Lord is in control of all things,
even microphones. Amen. Amen. So let's just bow our heads if we would. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just deem it such a privilege to be gathered together with like precious saints. And Lord, we just sometimes just want to come together and just be reminded of all the good things, Lord, that you've done. And reflect on those things, Father, the victories, oh God, that you've done for us. Rehearse those things. We see it all in Psalms. And how that you took them out of Egypt and all along the way. And just it said exactly what happened. And how that your word was always proven. You stood behind your word. When they obeyed, they received the blessings. But when they disobeyed, the troubles came, Lord. But Lord, we know that even you allow troubles to come just to try us, to perfect us. To cause us, Lord, to reflect that goal that you know that is in us. What is that goal, Lord? That's you. And you want that portion of you in each one of us, that deposit that you've placed there, Lord, to come out and to shine. And so, Lord, this is a shining time, Lord. This is a time to get all the dross out. And, Father, we thank you, Lord. You are the sculptor. You're the one that's doing the work. We just pray, Lord, you have your perfect work, your perfect way. Exalt yourself, Lord, in us and through us, each one of us, Lord, tonight. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can come up here and work your magic. I'll let him do the technical stuff. I like to relax on that end of it. You do it all day long and night. Sometimes it's give it to somebody else to do, so that's a good thing. So, amen. While I have you on your feet, let's just turn to the Bible. And let's just turn to Isaiah 65. Okay, Isaiah 65:23. How's everybody doing? Good to see Sister Anna back here again with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 65:23 says, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Amen. Our children, Bible says, the children are the heritage of the Lord. And we're just grateful for each and every one. Isaiah 61:9 says this. Just up or back a few chapters. "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." And we know that a lot of times the Bible has got compound meaning to things. Amen? So praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you help us. This is going to be a time of testimony, a time of reflection, Lord. May your blessings be upon it, O God, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And do something a little different here. Waiting for it. Okay. Anybody recognize that? You can't see. Oh, sorry. Should we pull this pulpit over? Somebody help me. Okay. You can put the camera on that. I think that probably will mean more than seeing my face. Wow, this thing is heavy. Are we? Is it?
Just drag it on the floor.
Okay. Can you see a little bit more? We can get a little more. I think we got enough rope here. Just don't knock the water over. Okay. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so early last, I don't know, summer, June, thereabouts, can y'all see? If I stand over here, you can see just fine, right? I move it like this. Can you see okay, Brother Ron?
There's a couple of
seats
up here.
Yeah.
Front row, even. That looks better, doesn't it? That's clear? You can see? All right. This is not the camp, so... That's Grand Marais, if you guys don't recognize it. So, anyway, so we got nice places here in Minnesota, too. I just want to say that in the outset. Praise the Lord. Philip, would you do me a... No, it'll be all right. Amen. So, okay, so, anyway, last June, Brother Jason started reaching out to us. He had this desire to have a youth camp. And so he knew that he had a place in mind. I guess they had already picked it out and so forth, but they wanted to select the counselors specifically to kind of help. This is the first time they've ever tried this, certainly to this scale. And so we were very honored that they asked us to come and be part of that. And of course, our youth, you know, with us, it was my wife and I and our kids and Brother Nate, Sister Anna, and Noah went. Miss Micah, he'd have had a wonderful time, but Hannah, amen. God knows. And Elisha and Emma, and Charity and Peter also went. They flew, and we didn't, well, there's a number of reasons why we didn't. We'll tell you about that here towards near the end. But we weren't sure if we'd be able to get back or not because things are just in flux, you know, all the time. Are the the Olivas online? Do we know if they're online? Don't know. Didn't see them. Okay, maybe they're on YouTube. Anyway, so it would be wonderful if they could have come here tonight. I'd love to have heard some testimonies. I believe the Lord did some wonderful things. I just put it that way. And we are very grateful. But Brother Jason, you know, the team down there, they had this burden. And the burden is that should I stand over here? Every generation has a chance at a revival. And that's pretty much the theme of the camp. Every generation has a chance at a revival. Every generation. We know that God does not have grandchildren. He only has sons. He only has daughters. Amen. And so everyone gets a chance, an opportunity to be able to have an experience with the Lord, to know that God is real, to know that God's word is true, and that is the thing that's going to bring them through every difficulty in their life, and that is going to be their beacon, their light, as they trust the Lord for every step, the same way we do, every step that we make, you know, through life. And so by God's grace, we are able to be part of that. So what I did tonight, I'll just tell you what I'm going to do. We just have a little bit of a slideshow here, just kind of show some of the pictures of what has transpired and taken place. And I've got little samples of some of the preaching and then some of the testimonies. I'd like to open it up, and I don't know how many takers I'll have, but anyone who wants to come up and to be able to say something as far as their experience, their testimony, and so forth, we sure want to open it up for that as well. And so, praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, amen. So, we were very fortunate that Brother Nate and Elisha, Emma, and Noah driving in one vehicle, and then the Schwartzes in the other were able to train together. And why that was nice is because we could kick Philip over there to be able to spell Nate sometimes to drive, you know, and that made it easier, right, Brother Nate? Anytime you can get a break from driving, we knew that first day would be pretty grueling, 12 to 14 hours for the first stop. So nothing to show there. I mean, we went from Minnesota all the way down to Lexington, Kentucky the first trip, and it is what you would think it would be. It was just a long trip, you know, to get down there. But thank the Lord. Sister Mary, bless her heart, she is a good planner. And she made arrangements for us down there in Lexington, Kentucky. So we were able to land. I got there a little late, but enough to get in there and to get a shower and a nice clean bed and to wake up the next morning and to get, get a breakfast the next morning, nice breakfast bar there at the place that we stayed at. And how nice that is, right? To get a good night's rest, you're fresh, you get food, your stomachs are filled, you just pack up and then you go on your way. The last little bit of the trip was only about, it was under 6 hours to drive to get to camp. And so we could take our time. And so we did. It was nice. It was just a really nice, relaxing trip. And I'll just say, there really isn't much to see up until, you know, you get to where we get here. Then as soon as you get outside of Lexington, Kentucky, it begins to get more interesting. So, more of the breakfast bar there. Brother Nate, Noah. And that's some of the things we get to see. We took a little side trip through the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. And the trees and all that were in bloom, were in full peak. And it was just really such a nice thing. I picked up a little hitchhiker. Yeah. A few more. Nice little panorama as we, you know, pulled off to the side. There's a little parking area there. Got a chance to take a look, see. Took a little groupie right there at the sign. And I was, Anna, where are you? I don't see you. Oh, that's right. She's in South Carolina. We're going to go and pick her up. So, yeah. It's just really nice. Just a beautiful area there. So, praise the Lord. Amen. So, we arrived, what was it, about 5:30 thereabouts in the camp, something like that. And, this camp, now I was going to give you their little tutorial, but really this isn't about, you know, talking about that camp so much. But it was really nice. It's actually run by non-denominational, and they open it up for Christian groups, and they really, their whole attitude is to serve and so forth. And I want to show you that guy right there, Brother Jason. The grounds is really a beautiful grounds. It's basically a number of buildings surrounding what is a man-made lake, and man-made in that all they did is they dammed up looks like a stream or a creek, and it just filled up. And you can look, they've got a berm right across where they've built. It drops way down, and it's dry down there. They've got a little, if you walk, and if you ever walk, you could hear that gurgling sound. There's a little drainage right there, so the lake can only get so high. And then it goes right through a pipe, if you would, and it dumps on the other side. So, did I say something wrong? Okay. Anyway, Brother Jason, we all know what Brother Jason went through. I mean, he was the one that truly was working hard, spearheading a lot of what was going on. And they were greatly terrifically hit by the devil. The devil just threw everything that they could. There's a number of saints in their church that came down with COVID. It sounded like he got hit the worst. And just by the grace of God, it was just an incredible thing that he went through. But the Lord brought him through, and he's there, you know, showing forth. We're just so happy to see him. I think that's really fitting. He was there to see the fruits of his labor come to pass. He tried to show a lot of wisdom. He tried not to overdo himself. We tried to encourage him not to overdo himself, and I think he knew what his limits were. But we're so thankful that he could make it and partake of the meetings and so forth. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. There's a group right there. Okay, and I see. Right, and you'll see. Wow, this is not. Anyway, obviously you can see Avery, you can see Mina, and of course there's Anna, and it was great to see Anna there with them. A nice homecoming for Brother Nate. We just really enjoyed, and of course Noah, you know, seeing her, his mother. That's very nice. Okay, this one here is again of Anna, and you remember Emily Curtis right there? Yeah, who many knows Matt Leitner? Okay, that's his wife right there. Okay, and of course it's Amy, and I wouldn't know this person. I didn't recognize her. She actually recognized me, and then when I looked at her, I recognized her. I got another picture. I'll show you here.
You better recognize her. She better recognize you.
No. I'm going to show you another picture oops. Oh my. What's interesting, I'm trying to zoom in on this, and it's just jumping around here. Let's do this. Okay. My hotkeys aren't working. Recognize? Nope, doesn't make any. Who knows Brother Danny and Sister Della Fair? Okay? That's Joanna. Joanna, the oldest one. Joanna. That's her daughter. Yeah, their oldest girl. She's now married with a mother of five. She lives up in Alaska. Her last name is Ray. And it was great to be able to connect with them. So that's what I found too. We're connecting with, you know, different ones that we haven't seen in years and years and years, and a lot of times we're connecting with their kids. So that was very strange. So that's Johanna Ray. Okay. How many have met Brother Jason Watkins? Anybody met him at all? I know there he is. He's the pastor of Bethel Tabernacle. And that's him there. Okay. And there's a Brother Peter, Sister Charity, talking to, I'm not sure who that is. And here is the Minnesota crew here, all lined up. Are we missing anybody? Got a few extras in there. But that's them right there. And the grounds itself is beautiful. Of course, the trees all around it were just color. It was in peak. And real accommodating. They have docks for swimming. And they have canoes. They have paddle. These pictures, some of the pictures that I've got here were taken by Sister Emily Curtis. She had a camera that was given to them. This is one that she took, and the reason why I'm including this is because it's nice, usually amongst girls, you know, two is company, three is a crowd, right? And to see a whole group of them, you know, getting together and sitting, you know, looking like they're really enjoying one another's company is really nice. I just want to say, you know, just looking at the young people, just what a fine crop of young people. I believe with all my heart that you young people, you really are the cream of the crop. You are the salt of the earth. And I know that even the people there on the grounds, people that are running the camp, I'm sure they were noticing. They know the differences between the different church groups that come through. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall with some of the comments, you know, that they would have said. It was beautiful the day that we traveled. It was beautiful that day. The next couple of days, though, was rainy. And they say, if you choose rain, that rain's our choice, right? And so it did rain. And so this is when it's kind of overcast. And this is when it's breaking through, rainy. Some nice pictures here of the grounds. It really was nice. And then finally Saturday, it opened up. And then we had a good day Saturday, beautiful day on Sunday. And we thank the Lord for that. Okay. Activities. There were certainly a lot of activities there on the grounds to do. And we didn't come there, you know, for the activities, but the youth have got a lot of energy to burn off. And so sometimes just a nice balance between them being able to run around and do things. And anybody there you recognize? Kurt. Yeah. Little testimony there. First day we got there, wasn't it Thursday afternoon? Isn't that, I think he found the basketball court and he twisted his ankle right away. And it swelled to like, you know, big old goose egg, you know, on his ankle there. And of course, it's pretty upsetting. You just want every young person to have a good experience there in camp. And so, but the Lord is in control of all things, amen? And the Lord touched Kurt. The Lord touched Kurt. In fact, with this picture here that's running, I think this was Saturday morning. He's back on his feet. He's running in the court. I went down there in time. The first time I'd been on the court was Saturday. And I got there in time to see him make a three-point shot. You know, nice arc, nothing but net. You know, and I didn't know Kurt could play basketball, you know, that well. He's a good basketball player. So he obviously enjoyed it. And I believe I'd love to have heard Kurt's testimony. I believe the Lord really did touch Kurt, not just physically, but spiritually as well. We just thank the Lord for that. But there's a lot of things to do. What, do you remember this name of this game here? What is it? What's it called?
Goggle.
What?
Goggle.
Goggle?
Goggle.
Gaga ball. Gaga ball. I call it dodgeball. It's kind of a form of dodgeball. You're supposed to hit it, but unlike, you can hit your hands, and that's okay. It's only when it hits your legs that you get out. So that's what they do. And they've got a method of bouncing it off the wall. There's certain rules you got to play, and kids really get into it. And so they have this sort of thing here for them to use. There's a ring of fire, gas fires with chairs around it that they can sit around and fellowship. And this here is a setting for the giant slide that was probably the giant swing, right? It's a swing. They had to be, notice here, they're all being harnessed in. That's part of the necessary attire in order to get on that swing, and you'll see why here in a little bit. And that's them getting hauled up on the giant swing. This is four square. They have a four square court. Matthew's in the background right there. These are Charity's pictures. She was nice to do that here. You got paddle boating, and of course there's Charity and a couple of other gals we know in the back. You don't. And here is another one here. See if I can bring it out. Okay. Of course, it's Elisha. Friends from, that's Hannah, Ashley. They're from Missouri. Of course, it's Natalie. I don't know who that is. You know who that is? No? Okay, that's Philip there. Oh, this one right here? That one right there? Okay. All right. Wonderful. Yeah, so I guess she wanted to buy a sweatshirt? Something like that. She had only so much money for a certain kind of shirt, and she really wanted another shirt. I guess Sister Charity saw her there, and the Lord just really laid it on her heart, and she went and gave her the necessary difference so she could get the one that she wanted. So little things like that, I'm sure she'll remember that. You know, you don't know what those little kindnesses, you know, can do to really encourage somebody a great deal. And so it's wonderful. All right. More paddle boating. Yeah, ping pong. More, just another shot of the different rings that they can sit around. So it was really a very nice grounds, you know, to go on. This is the ground view of the giant swing. I should probably do this. Can you pick this up, Philip? Pretty wild. I'm going to try and get sound on here. Hold on a second here. Let me get my sound up here because you want the sound for the next one. That's one from the top down from the other side. So I really want you to see that one. Oh. Well, hold on here. Finding my mouse. I think so. I should get my mouse out of the package there. Okay. There we go. Get the right speaker here. Okay. Hold on.
Okay. All right, so we're doing this swing right here, right over the lake. You got Brother John right here. I think he's pulling.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have this on, Philip? Okay.
All right, so we're doing this swing right here, right over the lake. You got Brother John right here. I think he's pulling the cord. Brother Danny Torres right here. He's
I'm ready.
Hoping he won't die. Like,
we're getting a little nervous there.
We're higher.
higher, higher, higher. Praise him. Lift Jesus higher. But you notice that my size is higher than John's? My size is higher than John's. Ah! Holy fuck! Ah! 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 Doing it! What you think, Brother John?
Danny happy. My arms are tired.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is good.
That was fun.
Yes. You just get a different perspective of life, right, Johnny? You can't talk.
John speechless.
Rob, you're going to have to give John CPR. He can't talk. He's speechless. He's turning red.
Tired. I'm tired.
Okay. All right. You got the idea. Anyway, so that's obviously a real attraction. So, amen. Yeah, the services. One thing I want to say, though, about the campgrounds is that it's picturesque and it was wonderful, and the cabins were really decent. The only real challenge was that it was very hilly. Getting up to the cabins, a lot of times you had to go up, and you had to go up like an incline, not 45, not that high, but like maybe 30 degrees or so. Is that about right? 30? Right there? And, you know, maybe 35, depending on what's that, is way worse. Well, it seemed like that, but when you go up, it was 45 probably by the time you got up to her cabin. So, coming and going, right? Yeah. Amen. I'll keep that right there. So we got a great cardio, needless to say, and we were constantly going from one place to the other, but all for the glory of God. Amen. The church, we helped set up the sound system when we first got there. They had a lot of challenges. For the most part, they were able to, the church down there was able to do everything. They just needed somebody to run the soundboard. I volunteered Brother Nate. Brother Nate says, no. But there was another brother from Hickory Tabernacle, and he was wonderful. And he would be the one that volunteered for it, and he did just a great job. The Lord absolutely wanted him to do it, and it turned out very well. This is the tabernacle. As you can see, the maximum is 410, and that's about what we had in there. 410. There really wasn't a place to put anybody, you know, when they were all there. And I know I was deaconing, and we had to, it was full. We had the sisters on one side, made it very easy, stick them on one side, brothers on the other, and just cram together, right? So they're on this side right here, and then there's a wing that comes over there. We'll show you that in a little bit. Solid sisters, and on the other side is the brothers, are the brothers. Right there. And the center aisle view, and this is the wing where the sisters were, and again, I got to do this here. Now you recognize these two, right? Anybody recognize these two? How many remembers Trevor Emond? Brother Trevor, Joe's friend, those are his sons. Zion, he was in my building, and this is Azariah, 20, 18 years old. So yeah, so we get to see, you know, the offspring of ones we haven't seen in years, and that's pretty cool. And of course, they had skits, and that was fun. And this one here, I just want to show it real quick. This is something that Brother John, I'll come back to this here in a little bit. He asked for some volunteers. Anybody you notice up there? Anybody you notice? Recognize? Emma. Yeah, right. That's Emma right there. Yeah. Some of the music department, Brother Nate, we appreciated his guitar. It was a real service to us. Thank the Lord for that. A sample of the music. So that's a song service. And then here's brother Stephen Curtis. You remember him from Idaho. And then afterwards, after the service, we had a bonfire in the amphitheater, and Brother Kidry Diggs ministered there as well. Little accompaniment from Brother Nate. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Okay. So the services, first day night, Brother Jason Watkins started it out. He, of course, is the pastor of Bethel Tabernacle. And I really appreciate all that he said. Anybody ever hear him minister before? No? I just want to play a little bit of something that he's done here. Hold on. Pick it up right here. We'll play about 11 minutes, and then we'll move on here.
Shouted for joy. We know that the Bible talks about a great falling away at the end time. Now I want to dig a little deeper. You good?
Hold on a second, guys. Fine.
Will say to me tonight, Brother Jason, part of that group, say, how do you know? Because now that I hear the word, I got the same shout for joy that they had when they heard the word. They stood there and heard the word of God, and they shouted for joy. We know that the Bible talks about a great falling away at the end time. Now I want to dig a little deeper. You good? I want to change my angle and dive a little deeper. right? So when we think about the falling away that is to come at the end time, we find too often times that what we are faced with, and I know this authoritatively because I was raised in this message, born into it. My parents were in the meetings of Brother Branham. I was a baby sitting there. I was prayed for him, healed of an incurable blood disease. By proxy, my dad standing in a prayer line and me hundreds of miles away. And the very instant it was pronounced, that instant I was healed. See, so the time continuum isn't exactly what you think it is. Miles meant nothing when God spoke through a prophet. But we find too often a retreating from the ancient landmarks of the Word. Now don't get quiet on me, because I'm here to tell you, Brother Jason, I've seen this. I've seen it from a boy growing up. I've seen the old ways begin to be drifted away from. And you say, oh, but wait a minute, the great falling away, is that's happening in the world. Yeah, that's fine. What has that got to do with you and me? I'm talking to you and me tonight. I'm talking to sons and daughters of God. I'm talking to believers. And I'm here to tell you something, that there's been a retreating from the ancient landmarks of the Word. And as a minister, I feel sometimes I want to say, get back in step.
Amen.
Get back in line. This is no time to be retreating from the ancient landmarks. This is no time to water down the gospel with its transforming power. If you want the transforming power of the gospel, you take it like it is. You take it straight. You don't mix it. You don't water it down. You don't weaken it. Take it straight. Hallelujah. Too much diminishing. A diminishing appreciation for the power of God, bringing many sons to glory. I'm here to declare that His Word is unchanging. I'm here as His officer tonight to make a declaration. His Word is unchanging. It's just as powerful today as it ever was. It still saves. It still fills with the Spirit of God. It can still clean up your life. It can still make the devil run from you. Hallelujah. It's unchanging. There is still power in the blood. There is still a Holy Ghost experience to be had. And I'm not going to stand by and let preachers water that idea down. As if you just make some mental decision, or you're raised in a message family, or raised in a message church. Nothing. That when we leave here, my church is going to burn under nuclear fire. But it won't have anyone in there when it happens. That's why I preach. I'm not trying to get my building in a rapture. I'm not trying to get my iPad in a rapture. I'm trying to get you and Amen. Me in a rapture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd like to just break into that tonight on the very first night. How many would say, well, let's just break right into it tonight? Hallelujah. That way when Brother Burley comes or Brother John comes, they don't have to drop back and hit these kind of things, because we're already filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We already got a church full of believers. How many believers we got in here tonight? Hallelujah. Satan knows, he's very much aware, that there are no contradictions in the Scripture. But it's not the Scripture he fears.
Yes, sir. All right.
Brother Branham, holding up his own Bible, declared, this is not the gospel. The Bible living in you.
Yeah, amen.
That's what the Holy Ghost was given for.
Yeah, amen.
It didn't come to increase your theology, to give you better understanding over the Baptists and Methodists. You do have better theology than them, but that's not the point. The point is that this thing is to become a living reality, living behind mortal people, living with all of our wrinkles and warts and ups and downs and weaknesses. Say, you got them, I got them, you got them, you got them. We all got them. We're all in this thing together. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, we've got a Heavenly Father that knows, who knows our weaknesses and knows how we're made, knows and watched us in our molding. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what you think about how you got here or what it is that's made up your life. I want to go back and remind you that every step of a son and daughter of God, whether it's before they became born again or after, is ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
And God is is in control of your life. Say, but I made all kinds of decisions. And he let you. Because now he can redeem you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. A child of God who has come out of sin is a very valuable instrument in the hands of God.
Amen.
Satan knows there are no contradictions in the scripture. So he moves to the spot where the connection is that transmits the written word or the spoken word into your heart. And that's the mind. And Brother Branham said, that's the battleground that God and Satan chose. The mind of man. Because it's got to come here first. And that's where Satan is going to attack you with reasoning. This is where Satan is going to use your five flesh body senses, your eyesight, your ears, your taste, the things you put your hand to. And he's going to use that as inlets to get to your memory, your reasoning, your conscience, your affection, your imagination, which are all in a fallen condition. They're all in a fallen condition. None of those 10 are converted. There's only one area of conversion, and that's in the soul. And that, Brother Bram said, that only has one sense, either faith or doubt. Either you're born again or you're not. You're not halfway born again. There's no such thing. You're either born of the Spirit of God or you're not. I understand growth and maturity, but you're either born of the Spirit of God or you're not. And don't fool yourself thinking you are. The devil would love to have you thinking you are when you're not. And when you actually are born again, he would love to make you think you're not born again. He's a master of psychology. Don't fight him there. And don't give. I'm here to tell you something, friends. If you want a secret to the supernatural, is keep your mind clear of Laodicea's influence. Keep your mind stayed on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Stop feeding on Laodicea. Stop indulging in those things. They're poison. They're toxins. And what he does is he comes to your mind. Because he knows there's no contradictions in the written Bible. So what he does is he comes to the spot where the connection is that leads from the written word to the living word. And it's then lived behind human skin. And he's not trying to make the Bible a contradiction. He's trying to make you a contradiction. He's trying to fill your life with contradiction. He's trying to give you the fashions of the world. He's trying to give you all the popularity. He's trying to get you to be one of the cool kids. I'm here to tell you, those kind of kids will end up in a tribulation period. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be the one who goes into glory with God. But understand how crafty he is. He uses the things you listen to. The things you gaze at, because he knows the principle of the word better than you do. He knows that we're changed into the things we gaze at. That's a principle, remember? Odds against a principle are no match. Say, well, I've been a believer all my life, and odds are I'll stay victorious. Not if you start violating the principles of God you want. See? So he's trying to create a contradiction between the word written in the Bible and the word that's manifested in your life. You know, if you think about what a contradiction this of YouTube and that iconic phrase, do you. Wow, just do you. Now, I'm not here preaching against selfies and YouTube and slogans. That's not even what I'm talking about. But what I'm trying to get you to see the work of the enemy. When you think about selfies, when you think about YouTube, when you think about do you, I mean, how opposite is that to the path that Christ took? He made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So I want to make you aware of something. I want to make you aware of this angle. That the falling away at the end time is far more than just some people moving away from or abandoning truth in doctrine. Falling away at the end time is anything that moves you away from Christ being first in every aspect of your life.
Amen.
If he's not first in every aspect of your life, you've already experienced a falling away.
Mm-hmm.
Though you might still be perfectly convinced of the teachings.
Wow.
See, it's not just about abandoning doctrine. When he's not your highest thought and goal, when he's not the center of everything you do, you have fallen away. So quite naturally then, the age of YouTube and selfie and do you would naturally be the opposite. It would be the antithesis of having him first in your life. It's real simple. It's not complicated. Many people, you know, will say to me tonight, Brother Jason, you know, that's not my motive in watching YouTube. That's not my motive when I took a selfie. That's not my motive when I said to my friend, hey, do you have a good time, go have fun. That wasn't my motive. And you know what? I want to say, friends, that's fine. I'm not indicting you. This is about the spirit that's on the age and the motive and objective of Satan for your life. It might not be your motive, but I'm here to promise you it's his motive. It's his motive to corrupt you. It's his motive to poison you. And when we think about it in the simplest terms, I can just ask you tonight, just think with me. Just answer this to yourself. I don't need anybody to raise their hand or stand up or say, yeah, it's me. I don't need you to say amen. I just want you to think about a question. Go down your life, your everyday walking, talking life, your everyday 24-hour life, and just ask yourself one simple question. Is Christ and his word first in every facet of my current life? If you can identify any area of your life that he is not, then that is a portion that you have allowed the God of this evil age to find a way into you. And he's keeping you from being a better you.
Amen. So that's the first service. And I really enjoyed Brother Jason a lot. You know, a lot of things that he brought out. Very, very practical, very biblical, very much grounded in the message. And then he went on to say his whole point was that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wanted to encourage the youth to realize that those ancient landmarks are still in place and we mustn't move them. We must honor them, and that he will do the same thing that he's always done. And then he went on after testimony in his own ministry, his own life, just again explaining that you can have confidence that God is going to fulfill his word in your life, in your heart. And that one point that he said there was very, very good. That one principle, you are what you look at. Regardless of what you believe, if you keep gazing at something, you keep gazing at something. If it isn't that thing is transforming you to Christ, you were gazing at the wrong thing. We can deny, say, well, I don't believe that, but yet we keep looking at it, okay? So and that's just a good word to the wise. I really appreciate that very much. Amen. So, did you enjoy that? Yeah. So, that was a sampling, if you would, of the preaching. And so the whole thing was about renewal, about revival, so forth and so on. Brother John, the one thing that he had the kids get up there for, and I thought just a point that he was bringing out, he had them come up, and asking for volunteers, and he had one of the boys was given a red apple, and Emma was given a green apple. And he asked the other kid, he says, okay, the apple that he has, what do you think, is it sweet or is it sour? And he says, oh, it's probably sweet, you know. And then he said, how about that green apple, is that sweet or is that sour? He said, it'd be sour, right? Granny Smith, right? Had the children take a bite out of it, and lo and behold, the red apple was actually the sour one, and the green apple was the sweet one. The point is that unless you have the experience yourself, you can't really say what it is. And And, you know, and the whole thing was taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusteth in him. And so that was his point there. And so, Brother Burley, I think where Brother Burley shines is he is a preacher where the rubber meets the road. He comes in there and he's able to imitate things of the youth that just cracks me up. Now, I could never get away with it, what he does, but that's Brother Burley. But, the, you know, people relate to him and the children relate to him, and that was just very, very good. And then, and of course, at later on, Brother Kidray Diggs, he preached on Coca-Cola and water. Coca-Cola and water. You know, what your body really needs. Now, the devil will tell you it needs Coca-Cola. That's what your flesh craves. But the thing that it really needs, because you're 85% water, is water. And he had developed a theme all around that. And I thought that was it was good. Did you guys enjoy that thing that he was bringing out there? I know it was getting late. I know you're tired and you're standing there up and down the hills. It was good, though. It was great to see that. Brother John, last thing that he preached was Rising Generation. And I really, this is where I think for him, I really appreciated the message the most, in that he was just challenging the youth to realize that, that you are the rising generation. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. And you need to rise up and to assume your place, your position in Christ. Amen. And that God does have something for you to do. And now is the time for you to rise. Now is the time for you to shine. And so, amen. It was just really good. We had a time, too. The Saturday night, of course, was a long line, a prayer line there. Just long line, went all the way down and around the corner and out the outside. As youth are coming forward, different ones, you know, to be prayed for. Some of them were delivered with all kinds of things, a suicide spirit, pornography, just different, you know, things. Things that the youth of this day in particular are subjected to, more than any other age. And even the whole thing of suicide is so prevalent right now. They get this attitude that things are hopeless. You know, why do I even bother? You know, why should I look up for anything? You know, everything is just going bad all around me. I've got no future, you know. And a lot of the youth, you know, they feel this way. But that's exactly what the devil wants them to feel like. They want that sense of hopelessness to enter in and to permeate their thoughts and their thinking. And they don't realize that right there was the clouds are pressing in, just right through the clouds, the sun is right there. Jesus Christ, right? And he is there to fill every heart with his radiance and his glory. And at this time, you can let your life shine. You can let your life shine forth in this darkness, and you can be a hope to someone else that is hopeless. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. When we go and we see, the devil will want us to look to ourselves. He'll want us to keep our eyes on ourselves. And we do that, we'll sink. Just like Peter, walking down the water there. As soon as he was looking at his condition, he sank. This isn't about looking at yourself. This isn't about looking at your condition. This is looking to Christ, looking the hope that is in Christ, and looking to see the needs of those around you. That's really what it is that we're called to do. We're not supposed to live to ourselves. We're supposed to live our life to Christ and ministering to those that are around us. That is your hope. That is how you can rise above, you know, depression. Don't look at yourself. You look at serving others. Amen. Amen. So that was very good. We had a few testimonies shortly after. And this was in the WhatsApp, and maybe I'll have Brother Nate come up and share that about the friend up there in Alaska. Do you remember that? It's in the WhatsApp chat. Did you get that? You can look it up. I'll let him, you go look it up while I share some other things. Sister Charity, she is up at the cabin, and And the fields aren't here, and so many of them that have come to camp are not here tonight. And I was really looking forward to be able to maybe hear some of the things that they had to say or their observations. One of the things that Sister Charity did share, though, this past Sunday that the kids had relayed to me was that there was a girl in her dorm, and they have these 2x4 bunks that were bolted to the wall, and she, I don't know if she was reaching down in behind and grabbing something or trying to, I don't know exactly what it was, but you know how it is. You can get down this way, but then it, there's an edge that catches, you know, a bone or an elbow or something, and you can't get it out, and she, I don't know where it was, again, she started to panic, and Charity just went over there, and she just started to pray. She just reached down there, and her arm just came right out. So a small little testimony, but we thank the Lord for that. There was a brother there. I wanted to tell you about him. I should have prayed for him. He is just a wonderful young man. And see if I can bring him up here. This man right here. His name is Wyatt. And he got away from the Lord. And life, the devil turned him every way but loose. And then he came back to the Lord about 2019 or so. He had a real experience with the Lord and a real consecration to life. If you ever were to talk to this man right here, his face radiates. It just shines. And it's wonderful to see these young men, and they have a real genuine walk with the Lord. He was discovered. He brought his canoe along. He was out there in the pond, out there in the lake, and he was listening to a message. You know, and I asked him about that, you know, afterwards. He says, you know, I don't do that for anything other than I need to do that to keep my head above water. I need to grasp onto the Word of God with everything that's within us because of what I've gone through. Satan is just trying to bring me down, and it's the Word of God that I use to beat it down. And so he's got a great testimony. And the biggest testimony that he can give to any young person is this: don't go out in the world. Don't go there. You're going to get scars that you're going to carry for the rest of your life. You'll be healed. You'll be saved. He'll give you victory over that, but those scars will still be there. Okay? One thing we'd want you to do is keep you from getting those scars. The Lord that's not His will that you would go around full of scars. He does forgive. He does give victory. Amen. Okay. You got the testimony? Why don't you come up here and give it? I'm going to sit down here. And whatever else is on your heart there, brother.
I'll do my best. Well, yeah. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, so this is Brother Steve and Sister Emily. So Steve was the dobro player. Emily was in one of the pictures. Her friends, Anna's gone out to visit a couple times in Idaho. So they have somebody, and I think Greg alluded to this, somebody that has stayed with them. He's from Alaska. They kind of treat him like an adopted son. And he's had a hard life. I think he's somehow connected to the indigenous people up there. And a lot of them really have struggles with addiction and a lot of really difficult things. So he stayed with them, and they've ministered to him. And he kind of, I think, struggles to keep himself going and things like that. So Emily was sharing, I think, some of this with some of the other people that were in her dorm. And I think that they, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they were talking about it, and she was kind of sharing some of the things. And one of the other people there, I think maybe a counselor, but doesn't really matter, said, you know what, I feel like we should just pray for him right now. And so they stopped, and they prayed for him. And they found out, I don't know when, day or two later, that at the moment they had been praying for him, he had hit a moose with his car, destroyed the car, killed the moose, broke its neck, and a lot of times hitting a moose is like hitting another car. It's a major, major accident. And he walked away without any scratch or anything like that.
Praise the Lord.
So the Lord protected him and used the prayers, just his people responding to a little sense in their heart that we should do this now.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That's it.
Any other observations at all?
Any other observations? I think you had mentioned the counselor who had come from Alaska. If I might get this wrong, Anna can nod and shake her head if I get it wrong. Okay. But they were actually not scheduled to be there. They had wanted to come, but at the time that the sign-up was open, she wasn't able to talk to her husband, and it didn't, you know, she didn't get on until later. They got put onto a waiting list. And so for all intents and purposes, they weren't coming. But she still felt like they should go. And she got a call, I think, a week before the camp started, saying, hey, we've had some counselors who can't come. Is there any way you can get here?
Wow.
And they managed to get there from Alaska.
Wow.
And not only that, but Jason told us that they had a waiting list of people to come to the camp, I think between counselors and campers. And they had just the right number of cancellations where everybody who was on the waiting list was able to come.
Praise the Lord.
So, you know, the testimony there is just that everyone who was supposed to be there was there.
Praise the Lord.
You know, not that the people who weren't able to come were in some way not supposed to be there, but just that the Lord made a way for everyone who needed to be there to be there. So
amen.
That's all I can think of right now.
Tell them about Brother Peter and Sister Charity and their thing about their getting home. How did they?
Yeah. So on the last service there, I think it was Saturday night?
Saturday night, I think they got word, yeah.
Was it at the end of service or even the beginning, maybe, during song service?
I think it was right before.
He said, all right, we just got word that American Airlines has canceled, I don't know, 800 flights or whatever.
No, it was 1,500.
1,500, whatever. Right. A lot of them. And so if you're on one of those planes, leave right now. Don't worry about staying here. You need to go find out if you actually can get home tomorrow or not, because we're driving you to the airport and we don't want to be shuttling you to the airport to find out that you can't go anywhere, right? And so they found out that Peter and Charity were traveling with Hope and Kurt, and they found out that they had a layover in Chicago, and the ride from South Carolina to Chicago was fine, but from Chicago to Minneapolis was canceled, right? So they thought, well, maybe we can get to Chicago and then rent a car or something like that, right? That's a little easier than driving the whole way. They got to the airport, and the airline decided that if they weren't going to be able to go on the second leg of the trip, surely they wouldn't want to travel the first leg of the trip also. So they had given those seats away to other passengers. So I'm not really sure how that got worked out exactly, but somehow the Lord worked it out where I think they made it all the way home instead of only getting part of the way home.
They actually got a flight into Asheville.
Okay.
And then from there directly to Minneapolis.
Okay, so from Asheville to Minneapolis. But either way, they made it all the way back rather than getting stuck in Chicago.
Right.
So even in that, the Lord was working.
Yep.
If they hadn't given away their other flight, their other tickets or seats or whatever, they would have only gotten part of the way there and still had a bunch of work. And from what I heard, like, rental cars weren't to be had either, because people who couldn't fly were renting the cars, so it wasn't just as easy, oh, we'll just rent a car and drive. So
I think Brother David and Sister Laura could probably tell exactly. You were involved with getting them home, weren't you? Somehow, as far as calling? No? No? No?
No, they did.
Okay, all right. He gave you the credit, so. Brother Peter. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Amen. Well, let's just stand to our feet. It's late. I would thank you for your patience. I believe with all my heart that the Lord... I'll have the musicians come. I believe with all my heart that the Lord had His way. It was their first camp. I think they did just an incredible job. And I thank the Lord to His glory that He is going to do everything that He needs to do.
Noah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Noah. Noah, please, come.
Did you want to say something, bud?
Come. Please. And anyone else who's got anything to say. Here you go.
So... I don't know, really, but I just kind of felt led to come up here tonight and just say this, so... So one of the nights we were at church at camp, there was a prayer line, and I just felt the Lord calling me to go through the prayer line and get prayed for. I didn't necessarily know why, I just felt Him telling me to. So I went up, I went through, and then once I went through, I got there, I told the guy who was praying for me why I wanted to. He told me that he believes it's just the Lord telling me, so he prayed for me. Afterwards, I just felt that the Lord had lifted a big burden off my shoulders afterwards. It just felt really good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Elijah? No? No? Right. Philip? No? My kids are brave. So, no, it was a great blessing in many fronts, and I just believe it's just seeds were sown, and only the Lord knows what things were put into play, and we just thank the Lord. So, amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering? Can we do that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. How about, why don't we just sing, He Brought Me Out. Can we? Let's see what number that is. Uh, 52. That's what I have. In Your Only Believe. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins drag me down, I cry to the Lord from the deep my request, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul. Upon the strong rock by His side, my steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain. No threat crown I gain. Just stand to our feet.
He brought me out of the mighty clay.
wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation and hope and of love, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock.
Anybody have any needs that want to be prayed for at all? Anything? Okay. We'll just close with a word of prayer. Josh, I wonder if you can come up.
Heavenly Father, I just
come to you this evening and ask that you would go with each and every one of us as we leave. Lord, for the hearts that were touched at the camp, pray that that would be a catalyst, Lord, to springboard them into closer walk with you, that
yes,
you would
Lord.
Be lighting those fires in their hearts, that their minds would just be given over to you, that each one of us, Lord, on a daily basis would consecrate ourselves to you, dedicate our thinking and our lives to you more and more. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you as we go.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow.
Bless you. Yeah, God bless you.